Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Really? That long? Wow. We have not started, really. Are we ready? Father, bless your word this morning. Give us life. Open up your word to us. In Jesus' name. Let your word come forth like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And let us be truly changed by the very words that come from your mouth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to look at one or two concepts. Just very short. Like you don't believe. Let's start from Luke chapter 2. Spirit move over me.
Spirit move.
Verse 41. I want to appreciate all of you who made it here in spite of every reason not to be around this morning. Have you ever been sick because you didn't have money in your pocket? Who knows that kind of sickness? You just sick. And then you got tired of your life, of yourself. You looked at yourself and you just got tired of this person you are seeing. It's a terrible way to be. That's why I say, as you get older, you become calmer. Come on. Amen. Now, this at the presence of Jesus. Well, by the way, Jesus said the life of a man does not consist in the abundance of things that he had, but in the God that he possessed. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know of it. 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. When they found it not, they returned again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Go ahead. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking questions. So he was both learning. He didn't go there to show off. Hello. For you to find balance, you must know evil and good. You can't just know good. You must understand the science of evil. You must understand why your enemy ticks the way it ticks. Even though you can't put out the fire, you'll be putting out small fires. You won't take out the lump out. So you have small victories, but no victory. So, and all that heard him were astonished at what? At what? At what? His understanding, not knowledge. Please go back to that. 46. He sat in the midst of the doctors. What was he doing? Hearing them. Now, after he heard them, he asked them questions. Now go to the other verse, 47. And all that heard him were what? Wait, you are not getting. Go back to verse 46. Who was asking the questions? Who was answering the questions? Are you seeing something? I said, who was asking the questions? Now who was answering? What does that suggest? They didn't know. This is the thing. I come to you, sir, if I want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, what should I do? And if I see goes around in the book of in the Torah, in the law, there's nothing like this in the law of Moses. I'm sorry, I can't help you. It's okay, but what about this? What did Jesus mean? What did Isaiah mean when he said, with stammering tongues will I speak? So he was asking them the question and using questions to generate answers. So he came to them innocently seeking for answers to his own meditations, only to realize that the places he went to were shallow waters. They couldn't help him. So he started using question and answer method. If this is this, what is this? If this is this. So he was hearing them, but what he was hearing was their shallowness. These are men of God. A 12-year-old boy could discern their shallowness. No weight, no crystal in the spirit. Shallow. Then he started asking them questions. Go to verse 47. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding. In other words, just could take a spiritual concept and break it down till anybody, you see that word all, anybody will understand. And he was 12. The depth of your spirituality will never be calculated by the weightiness of your words, but your ability to transmit what you have known to others, and they catch it with the same frequency, not losing any volume of power. Verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou done this to us? Behold, thy father and I have been, we have sought thee sorrow. In other words, they thought he was either missing or dead. Go to the next verse. And he said unto them, how is it that you are looking for me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business. Let one cut my fancy. My father's business. Oh, really? 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 So I started to think about this. At the age of 12, Jesus was already taught of the Lord to the point where he understood that he was here to take over the ownership of God's agenda in the earth, and it was his father's business incorporated in the heavens. It was not just something he was born and started doing. He was brought into the scene as a little baby, but at 12 he had been taught, not by man but by spirit, to get a good grasp on why he is even here in the first place. He was not waiting to be 30. These are things that people in the children church must master. By the time they hit 12, they must have understood that they were created for his pleasure. That if at 34 you are still hearing this, you are too old. If you don't have a business mindset, you cannot work with God. Take it or leave it. If you think you can just stroll in and stroll out, you can't work with God. You will always be late. You will always be late. That's the way you go late to your office. You will always be late. The issue of being early with God, when you hear things like, early will I seek thee. Early. That early is when some people sleep. Somebody said, a king who had the luxury of sleep said, early will I seek you. A king who will not brush his teeth, he will stand like the mother and brush his teeth for him, said early. He didn't wait for the choir to do it. He said, early will I seek thee. Early. He had come to the place that God is an early bird. If you are look, if God, your 8 a.m. is not God's 8 a.m. He said, why are you looking for me? The only people who can find me now are the people who are in this line of business. Sorry, I just want to talk. I want to check on. So I don't have all the time to talk. Can you go straight to the point? I must be about my father's business. There's no time for chit chat. Jesus already knew at 12 that everything he was going to do from this onwards, everything that he was going to do had to be deliberate, calculated, premeditated. He already knew at 12 that he won't have a wife, and he had dealt with it. He already knew that he was going to die a painful death, And let me tell you something. You don't know anything about dying painful death. You don't know anything about being embarrassed until you have walked in certain realms of authority where you could command life to come back into the dead and they came back. And you could speak to somebody whose legs were twisted and say, be free. And the person gets up on this knee, and all of a sudden, you are there bleeding on the cross and you can't even help yourself. That feeling of flash, losing the speed, that feeling of helplessness, like you can't help yourself when you just realize that you can't run fast anymore, you can't soar like the eagle, you can't do all the things that people have always known you for, and you are just like a man. That feeling of helplessness, Jesus had dealt with it from 12. Now, when you begin to hear that our children shall be taught of the Lord, he was talking about children, our children, Praise, Josh, Sabella, they be taught of the Lord. They grow with the mindset that they are not just the product of two people loving each other. And then somebody came and say, you know what, I have something I need to tell you. No. This is not about people getting pregnant. This is about heaven's intention, releasing an arrow into the earth. Bible say that children are like quivers. They are like arrows in the quiver of the Lord. So every time God needs to push an agenda in the spirit realm, he just puts one of his children. Hey, who's ready to go to earth? Hey, come, David. Bam! And somewhere, you just find a baby crying here, and everything, all people can see is just that, Gideon and Bimbo, they have a son. What's his name? That's what people see. But what people didn't see on the flip side of eternity was God with his arrow. Sometimes to work with God, you have to be very graphic in your mind. You know, you won't get the beauty of the story. I'm very graphic. So God has enough time practicing shooting. Because when God needs to touch down in Kaura Namuda, you don't know where that is, don't worry, amen. you probably would know, the Lord. How many lawyers are in this church? Please stand up. Law, everybody, stand up. I want to see you. We are going to rename this church today. Stand up. Quickly. All lawyers in this church. It's like, I heard there's a cook. Oh, goodness. You people are in trouble in this church. God bless you, baby sister. Hallelujah. Let's celebrate them. Wow, wonderful. Wonderful. Bankers, you guys need to get your game up. Amen. Amen. You need to get your game up. Amen. 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 Guys, I'm on your side. You know, I was supposed to study law. They told me I won't make it. But I offer. Say, for the sake of my eternal redemption. God bless Brother Humphrey wherever he is. Amen. So Jesus at 12 was already taught of the Lord. Now I want to encourage you, when you start having your children, consecrate them to God. This, what you are seeing here, is not the work of Joseph. And it's not the work of Mary. Mary will carry Jesus somewhat. I get the feeling like she was even limited in understanding of the full intention. Even Mary. Because at some point Mary came to him and said, if I am your mother, tell him to come out of that place he's preaching. Come here and meet me. She stood outside, just was preaching inside. Say, go and tell him that his mother is here. Because they've been hearing stuff. Like, they are going to kill this boy the way he's going. You see, the boy was never yours. You are just a channel. Nobody can get a good grasp of what you represent in God's heart than you yourself. The weight of your strength and your purpose in God, nobody can capture the full energy of that intention in God's heart like you. And if you don't look in the mirror of God's word and find you, what a loss. Could have been born in America, but with three eyes, four legs. For some reason you are here, and despite all you had to go through when you almost dropped out of school, for some reason you are still here. And you think that was just because you are very smart. This is not my message. I'm just breezing into it. So I began to look at the concept of the Father's business, and I think this is reflective of why the church is the way it is today. Because mostly we just think the church is the place where you can do what you like. But God set government in church. God has a government in church. Every time God needs to do stuff on earth, it will not bypass the church. Every time God had to bypass the church, it was because there was no lampstand, there was nothing burning before him. So God had to go look for a Cyrus, or look for people outside, you know, or Balaam. Balaam was not Israel. But have you seen the way Balaam sees vision? Very strange. He said, I Balaam. He will now be psyching himself. That falls into a trance with my eyes open. Then you begin to prophesy. Oh boy. In those days, when I prophesy, we were very humble before the Lord. Balaam. Balaam will say, I Balaam. That falls into the trance of the Almighty with my eyes wide open. And then you begin to talk. In other words, he will connect two realms with his eyes. He'll be talking to that king and be seen, say, yes, okay, you know what, come again tomorrow. And he will climb the mountain. God is waiting for him. I mean, that's some very strange realm where your eyes connect two realms. And you say, wait, you just switch and you see there. The guy wasn't even Israel. That's to tell you that even apart from God's company, there will always be a remnant. They may not believe as you believe, but God will not leave anybody with an excuse. There will be a remnant. And that's why as we stand here and sit here and do church, you know where Jesus is? He's in Iraq. He's in Iran. He's in Cyprus. And when you see him, he's not doing all that, I am the glorious Jesus. You just see him wearing his jalabia and his turban, and he's speaking in Arabic or something to someone. Say, how are you? You know, trying to connect with people. And you see many of them begin to, you know, have dreams and visions, and they come to the Lord. And then you see the way they've changed. There's this lady I've been watching online recently, Bridget something. She used to be from Lebanon, and now she converted and all of that. And you know, it's just amazing how God goes into the deep part and brings out somebody. But you think you became all you became because you wanted to become? No, you are an arrow. Inside that arrow was configured your software, your programming, that at a certain age you begin to have certain experiences. Like Samson, the Spirit of God will be moving you, and like, what is happening to me? I'm having dreams, I'm having visions. It's just the programming on your inside, even before you are born, that at a certain age you will begin to ask certain questions. At 12, Jesus knew Joseph was not his father, even though he didn't say it to his face. He knew. And you know what? The moment he told them this, what did he say in verse 50? Even the parents became confused. Look at this. He said, and they understood not what he spake about. When even your own company, and I say, let us apply wisdom. Let's go. Don't worry. Let's go. Are you true with them? Let's go. Let's go. Because even the parents, including the mother, who the angel spoke to, who saw an angel with her two eyes, became confused. And Gabriel is not just an angel. It's an high-ranking angel. It's an archangel. And she had all of that experience. And she responded to God. Hey, it's not enough to respond emotionally with God. It's not enough. Because emotions are like fuel. They burn fast. But your resolve, your will, that one. Uh-huh. Yes. I need to run. This is not my focus. So when I looked at, and I want you to go back home and meditate on this. If there's anybody that God ever did anything with, it was not because they were better. It was just the difference between you and those people was that they placed a huge premium on the things that was revealed to them. Some people never saw a vision. Some people never had a prophetic experience and saw an archangel. But they just looked at the word of God and they saw something and they embraced it. Then they said, for your glory, I will do anything. And the moment they said that, God started working with them. Stop looking for something elsewhere, here, there, here. The word of God is in your heart and it's in your mouth. Very important, we address our position, because we are going to be taking mountains, and if we don't define clearly why we want to do what we are doing, We are going to get to those mountains, and the mountains will take us. Do you know how they start? They start by giving you a new name. They change Daniel's name. Daniel. That L, that's God. Then they change it to what? Belteshazzar. They change your name, then they try to change your language. This is the way we talk here. This is what we do. It has to be hippie, and you know. Initially, it starts like, for me to win some Romans, I must behave like the Romans. But all of a sudden, we are not hearing that. We are noticing that you are actually Roman now. Amen. You are just blending. And you can't tell the difference anymore. God, one day, you just wake up in the morning and just. It is well. That it is well is I have backslided. I mean, I just backslided. I mean, nothing. You are not waking up with any sense of assignment and destiny. God looks on the earth, sees you, your lamp stand put off. That's how God knows where the kingdom activity is still active. He looks, and then where do we have lampstands? He looked, which was going on there, report please. And then the angel said, sir, the lights are out. Where is Benga? Sleeping, sir. Oh, that's a spiritual state. Sleeping. How come? What were you doing about it? We tried to get in touch with him. He was not going to listen. Really? That doesn't sound like him. Sir, as I speak with you, he has not been in that space for like 3 weeks. Wow. Who is next? Who is closest to that area? Okay, there's one buyer in Ikeja, and next the two zones, he will send someone there. That's the way God works. Then God, all of a sudden, buyers in Ikeja, he now notices that he has an increase in grace. Hey! He thinks that it's his prayer that is working. But what God was doing was that because he needs to annex and give grace to him to cover the other zone, he increases his capacity with him. He just notices that when he teaches and preaches, he has increased grace and ability. Like, wow, this feels good, man. It's not you, sir. It's more work. More grace. So be careful when you feed those things. God might just have sacked somebody and give me extra work. Wow. Are you still with me? I hope you are. Is this simple enough? You know, we are still on this one verse. So I began to look at my life, and I was asking my wife last night. I said, if this thing we are involved with, is it worth doing? Is this worth doing? Because there will be challenges, and there will be pain. So we have to set to some things now. Again, I want to ask you, what you are doing, this course that has been committed into your hands by the Lord, some of these things, you know, some of you have these old notes where you used to write some of the things you used to, the Lord was showing you in your dreams way back. That thing is somewhere under your bed in your mom's house. So you need to call her and tell you to check if the notebook has not been consumed by rats, and so you can restore it. And forget about that thing. You have this brain. Write it down. So go and dig up all those things. All those things you thought the Lord said to you. Bring them and let's look at them again. Because God is saying, in the days that I make my jewel, they will be mine. In the days that I make, do you know the price of making jewels? Huh? The difference between jewels and charcoal? Those ones stay in the heat more. Longer. When they come out, everybody wants to get one. But staying in the heat can be very painful. Because every time you say, I can't take this anymore, the Lord will just say, 5 more minutes. Say, Lord, I can't bear this. I can't stand this insult. I will not take it. He will say, 5 more minutes. After that, you can lose your mind. And after he's done with that 5 minutes, shout if you want. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. So when he looks at you, he begins to see himself. Say, my son, we are making progress. Next stage, please. Everything you are going through in your life is part of the training. Stop waiting for one training somewhere. This is it. Your choice to choose good over evil. This is the training. First, you went to the back and ate. That's the training. Say bye-bye to that friend. Said bye-bye, then later said good morning. That's the test. You just failed. And God can afford to keep you there. Because you see, while you are being disobedient, somebody is obeying. Somewhere. It's so serious that God will have to take someone from Nigeria to Ukraine. Adilaja. Oh, you think it was Adilaja was the first choice? God probably would have sought for a man who was born there, who understands the language, to go there. The guy probably chose to do something else or fit in instead of fitting out. Then God had to go away from Nigeria to send a man to Ukraine to pastor the largest church in the world. God went to Nigeria to pick a man to go to Ukraine. Because while one man was trying to fit in, one was trying to fit out. And God said, that one that fit out, yeah, come on, let's go. It would just look like something happened. You got an admission. You went to Ukraine. You started learning the language. It just looked like the normal life until you found yourself there.
Preach.
Pass your test. This is it. This is the test. Pass it. This thing happening to you right now is the test. Pass it. Pass it. This is your training. This is your training. And the purpose of passing this training is so that when God looks at you, he sees himself. Luke chapter 19. I need to hurry. I don't know if I get anything. Hallelujah. 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 Luke chapter 19. Are you there? Verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should appear immediately. He said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself what? A kingdom. And to what? He went to receive for himself what? A kingdom. And to what? To return. And he called how many servants? How many servants? Before now, what did you used to think? How many did he call? You thought three, right? That's what you thought. Now look at it. That scripture said what? 10. And he called his 10 servants and said to them, and delivered to them what? 10 pounds. They spent pounds in this country. Pounds sterling. He gave them 10 pounds. Oh. Now, these 10 pounds, how many did he give it to? To the 10. For it to be fair, that means he must have given them what? 1 pound each. Are we on course? Let's go ahead. Oh, don't go. Stay back. He gave them 10 pounds with an instruction. What did he say? Occupy what? Occupy till I come. Stop. Let me read. Give me amplified version. Verse 13, quickly. Calling 10 of his own bond servant. You see the word bond. He gave them 10 minas equal to 100 days wages for nearly $120, and said to them, what? Buy and sell with this while I go and then return. The word buy and sell means business enterprise. Learn how to take something and make it sellable. You must be able to convince people that need this thing. Stand in the spot where they can see you and then buy what you have, make profit, and then come back home. Don't put it in your pocket. That's what it means by occupy. Take charge till I come. Stand where I would have stood till I come. Look at it, says buy. I said, give me a message translation. Now this is Jesus, so because when he comes, this is the marking scheme. So he called together 10 servants and gave them each a sum of money and instruct them what? Operate. Operate with this until I return. Take my place till I return. If for any reason the Lord has laid anything upon your heart to do for him and you still think it's one of those things you are missing in transit, your candle is about to be put off. Look at what he said. Operate. These are your marching orders. Stop waiting for another. Oh, call me Holy Spirit. Hey, this is it. Look at this. Oh goodness. He said he caught 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minutes and told them what? Engage in business till I come back. Which business? When the parents came to him and said, where have you been? He said, why are you looking for me? Do you not know that I must go about my father's business? Here's the marking scheme. And your perception is key. How you see what God is saying. This is the revealed word of God. Now, look at this. Let's go on. Now his citizens hated him. Oh, do you know how much people hate Jesus in this world? You've not you've not been to some places. It's as if some people can't wait to delete that name from the minds of everybody. Some people take it as an agenda. Everything they do is calculated. That 100 years from now, nobody will mention that name again. They are deliberate about their programs on TV. They are deliberate in the way they report news online or even on social media. You just go there and you are passing stupid comment and gossip. These people are not even looking for you. They are looking for your sons. They are looking for your daughter. They know you cannot hear. They have given up on you. But you see your sons, they will take them. They have sworn that they will take the souls and the heart of your sons and your daughters. 100 years from now, nobody will lift up their voice and sing the song of that name. They can wait. They have time. They are willing to walk towards it. You just want this quick fix and hit it. Give it to me now, Lord. They can wait. They are building capacity towards the end point. Say engage. What engage is systematic build up. You go into a place and you want to win a city or a village. You don't go there shouting and screaming hallelujah. You are looking for the key man, the chief man amongst them that you can connect with. Once you're able to get the first person, like a Crispus, you take your time. Do you know what you do? You go to that village, you buy a small farm, you will start planting maize or beans. People will think you are the new visitor that came to the village. You are also a farmer. Are you listening to me? But you are not here for farming, no. You are looking for Crispus. The moment the Crispus may be the guy whose farm is next to yours, and he has three wives. These are your first church members. And for you to engage him, you have to love him, connect with him, share the values of the community. You know, you are just relating. All of a sudden, he wants to know more about you. You are just being a regular guy. All this is Eminence, servant of the Most High God, His Excellency, Doctor, Prophet Doctor Benga, PhD, Spiritology. You are not necessarily on the feed. Because you will have to learn how to farm. You that went to Unilag, did your masters in London, came back, went to buy farm. So you say, Lebro, and you are farming. What is wrong with the rain this year? We are not seeing rain. Say, I don't know, but we are hoping. So okay, let's continue. And you continue. You are just doing your regular in your mind. Say, God, I hope you never forget me for this place. So I get masters. We can do this at United Nations, you know. Even those people in the villages, Jesus died for them. That you are wearing suit doesn't mean you are the one just died for them. I said even those in the village, Jesus died for them. And we need to raise people who can communicate in thick Yoruba language, in Nupe language, in Tiv language, in Igbo languages, and people who can take the same gospel and communicate it at that level. Gospel is not for the Englishman. Say engage in business till I come. And how much did he give each of them? $1, £1. They all had a fair chance. I said they had what? They all had the same chance, the opportunity
to be something in God, to go all the way for God, to be their best in God, they had the same opportunity. You know, the strength of this church is not when I'm here and the church is sitting 300,000 people. It's when I go and it's sitting 300,000 people. The best of this church will not be when I'm here. Even if the federal government refuses to back me, at some point I must learn to step aside and go to another area where nobody is shouting hallelujah there and start again. That is my life. I have accepted it. That's it. No man can fire me again. Like you are sad. What? Really? Gospel cannot be hindered. This one life, Paul will look from heaven and say, "Chai, oh boy." I say, "I ain't seen nothing, bro. You just watch. I'm going to use your same scriptures and I'm going to run like Flash." Let's go back to our scripture. Please, one of the rules of business is that you must understand that there is no time. There is no time. You have to be time conscious. Everything has to be deliberate and calculated. If you are writing a tract, for instance, you are deliberate, you are calculating. Who are the people you are targeting? If you are doing a bulletin or an online bulletin, or if you are posting something online on Facebook or on Twitter or whatever it is you are doing, you must be deliberate and must be time conscious. Don't assume you always have time. The Bible says even the devils at 2,000 years ago already knew that his time was running out and was making haste to see that he could get as many as possible. Even the devils at then in the book of Revelation already knew that his time was running out. Every this gospel that we listen to today that makes us good church members, is going to die. Now these 10 guys, for Jesus, for the king in that story, to have given them, those were probably not all of his servants, but those are the ones he could have trusted, that have been close to him. And he gave them £1 each. And then, so everybody had a fair chance. So what happened? The citizens said, we don't like this man. They sent a message after, we don't want him to be king over us. And it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded his servants to be called unto him. Who are the servants that will show up? How many of them? How many is he expecting? 10. How many did he assess? How many did he call? How many did he talk to? How many did he call? 10. How many did he assess? 3. What about the 7? Can you see that third guy, he was not the worst in the equation? Those other 7, they didn't even remember that point. Not to talk of occupying the coin. The coin was missing. So he didn't have any beyond, just wait. No time. Let me face those that still manage to have something. Now look at the fate of the third guy. What do you think could be the fate of those other 7 guys? Stay with me. I'm telling you, except you place a personal premium and importance on the dealings of God upon your heart, and you take those dealings as valid in God, and you are not waiting for one external prophecy to confirm to you what you already are in God, my brother, I am afraid for you. The first came, "Lord, I have gained £10. How many did he give him? What did he come back with? Principal plus interest. To be able to get an harvest, you must understand the principle of death, which means that when you put a seed into the soil, it must die. It must be consumed with soil. It must be corrupted. It must perish. And then it comes out again. So while that man was away, the guy did that process at least 10 times. He had gotten so used to dying in his life and coming back, dying in his life, coming back, dying in his life. And for every time he had to die, God gave him an harvest. Every time he had to follow the path of the Spirit, listening to whatever was saying to him, God gave him an harvest. God gave him Christ. And every time he walked away from some, possibly the harvest could have been more than 10, but every time he walked away from not aligning fully with the intention of God, there was nothing to reap for him. He said, "Master, I have gained 10 pounds. And the Lord said to him, "Well, look at it." I said, "Well, well, that is, he said, "Well, it could have been better." Well, well, okay, well, what God put on your inside, can lighten up a city. And you came with 10. Say, well, John, okay, 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 well, you have done well. He said, you have been faithful in very. Do you see that every time God puts something in your heart, it will be something you can easily discountenance. You can just wave it off. Something that you can wish away. Something that you can. It's not that serious. It's not just photography. It's not just the ability to draw cartoons. It's not just ability to speak or to write. What was that? How much can you make with that? You are always thinking of the monetary value. And God is looking at you and say, that little thing gave this man dominion in the world to come over 10 cities. But you see the caution. He said, well, not else he could have been better. And this was even the best of them. Now I'm looking at this guy and I'm asking myself, what are the practical ways I can be effective for God or in God? The first thing I think this guy would probably have appreciated is the fact that he had a good grasp or a vision of what the master wanted. The master said, occupy. In other words, secure the cities I have and get more for me. So he had an agenda that was clear. We needed to take cities. While the others felt they could sleep today, they said, there's no time. We need to go to that city and take that city. And there's nothing going on. Let's still go there and take the city. So the guy was always mobilizing and getting people around him that helped him in taking cities. He didn't look for people who washed down the vision. Stay away from people who try to talk down on what God is saying to you. If it was who God spoke to, God will ask you about it. God will not ask them. He will ask you. Your marking scheme will be based on all the conversations both of you had. If you keep wishing away what God said to you in the dream or certain things that whether by prophecy or what, just keep wishing it away. On the day you will stand, those will be the parameters for the judgment. This is no matter of heaven or you will go to heaven. I'm just talking about what you will be in that new world. And there are many of us that have attained so much glory here, but will be nothing in the world to come. Slaves in the world to come, more or less, foolish virgins. He said, I look at this guy, he had a clear vision of what the master wanted. And this is very important if you really want to go far with God. You must have a clear vision from scriptures what God wants to achieve. Not what somebody said, what God wants to achieve. Once you can itemize it and put it down with your own words, you have a good grasp, you are ready to move. Stop hearing high sounding words and filling your head with rubbish. Get a good grasp of what the Lord is saying to you. Simple. This guy had a good understanding. That's why he was different. Then he was able. These are just simple business principles. Okay? You have a good vision. Then you are able to mobilize around it. There is nothing God puts in your heart that you can do alone. Find your chief men. Find people. Pray them in. Ask the Lord to send you people that will make it easy for you. Not people that would drain you and make you emotionally down. You see your inner circle. Peter was not perfect, but he wasn't draining the Lord. Are you with me? Those are his inner circle. The people that are closest, your inner circle. If you right now, Santoy, I want you to think about the people you consider to be your inner circles. And look at them again in your mind. How relevant are any of these people to your journey? Is it just because we graduated from school and we have been together ever since? Nonsense. 20 children don't play together for 20 years. They may be your yesterday people. Let them go. Step into your today. There is more in God. This guy had a good vision of what the Lord wanted and he stayed with it. He made up his mind he was going to be different. He had a success mindset. He wasn't coming to fail. He believed that for him to have been selected is because the father trusted him. And he wasn't willing to lay down his guard. If he was going to sleep with his wife and then he remembered that I didn't finish that assignment, he would get up and go back there. He organized his life around his assignment. He brought his wife into the assignment, brought his children into the assignment. He let them understand that, look, I was doing my thing. I was a farmer, I was a shepherd, till he called me and told me to speak his word. I could have decided to stay back in Globalcom or in the army or in the bank, wherever it is I was doing. I could have chosen to stay back there and he would have still blessed me. But for some reason, I was doing my thing. In fact, that season, I was not even living a perfect Christian life. And he just said, you, I want you. Every time you were involved in that accident and miraculously you are saved, it was because God had something in your hands that is expecting reward on. That's why he kept you. God will not allow his purpose in your life to fall by the wayside. As long as you hold that purpose dear to your heart, you will walk into fire and you will come out. Are you still here? So this was that's the guy with the 10. I have a problem with this guy. These three guys in this, or the four categories of people here, the first three guys plus the other seven, making four, is a picture of every believer today. We are all in one category. Highly performing, doing well, doing poorly, missing in action. Those people, those other seven, that they are the people that come, they come to church. I'm not saying they are in church. They are in church. They come to church every day. They don't miss service. The issue is not the coin in your hand. Do you even know what that thing represents? Does this mean anything to you? That when you hold the Bible in your hands, does it occur to you what is in your hand? That this is blood. That this book is blood. If you like, keep quoting Greek and Hebrew. Do you know that that thing in your hand, by your knowledge you shall be judged, because you are the one quoting Greek and Hebrew now. That book in your hand got to us by blood, because the guys who came in from the sea could have chosen not to come. Because even me, when I go to some parts of the country to preach, when I see those places, when I went to Makoko, I think that's close to Onike. When I got there to preach and I got to the Apostolic Church, when I got there, I said, God, don't send me here. Very big cathedral, seven people. There's no time to be preaching what I prepared. Let's talk. Let's talk. no time. Let's talk. I can leave my hands on you and you found that answer, but I think I should empower you. That's probably going to help you. Big cathedral with, as in three-story buildings, seven people, all unmarried. That's Lagos. Then God now called you to leave the UK, come to a land where there are savages. And you say you heard the voice of God. This voice of God, you say you are here, I doubt it. The one that cannot take you, cannot take food from your mouth one day. This voice of God you are hearing that puts good food in your mouth and doesn't send you to Gambia. I'm suspecting that voice. I'm not saying anybody sent to Gambia. I'm just saying that I'm suspecting you. That's all. I've not said more. Go to the next verse. I have a problem with this guy. The problem is that don't be so filled up with yourself that you don't see what your neighbor is doing. when all those, when we receive this calling, this apostleship, we were 10. My brother, as I'm talking to you, I have 10 cities or I have 10 souls. What's happening to you? This man did not realize that the third guy was upset and angry. He thought they were doing ministry together because his church was on the other street. Just saw the guy is always frowning. He thought it's the power of God that is moving him. He didn't know that the guy was angry at the fact that he was even called. And he felt that God was not fair. Initially, I thought it was because God gave him one and gave the other five that he was upset. I realized the same thing he gave them. I said, this thing that God put in you, is there anger inside mixing with it? Just look at your heart. You can't be angry at God. You're on your own. Your best option is just to anger yourself. Actually. So you can see him quickly and tell him your mind. The guy could have said, Master, I don't want to work for you. I've been here all these years, but now I don't want to work with you again. He took the calling, but he was bitter inside. He was bitter inside. Maybe he felt the ordination should have come first. Maybe he was the 10th person they called his name. You know, sometimes people prefer to be called first. He now called him, and finally, Bayo. So it's like, just complete them. You understand? We know those that will perform. Don't just join them. This guy was doing so well, he didn't look around him to say, hey, bro, what's going on? This singular attitude has made the church lose many grounds. And that's why we are going to keep checking on each other. If you remember first, call me. If I remember first, let me call. That's all. It's not anybody's work to check on anybody. It's our work. Hello? Are we together? I say it's not anybody's work to check on anybody. It's our what? I say it's our what. The next guy came, say, Master, your pound has gained what? 5 pounds. These are okay guys. We are doing too badly. We no pass, we no fail. C6. At all. So we are here. We are here, Master. We tried. What did Jesus say to him? 20, verse 20. No. I'm talking about the second guy. He said, you also have what? 5 cities. This guy you are looking at, there is something that is hampering his development. The opposite of vision is what? Division. D-I. In mathematics, I means what? 2. Division. Division. Your vision. Personal interest mixing with the eternal purposes of God. So that guy was trying to run 2 things at the same time. He was only able to do half. See, let me tell you, there's work. God did not bother Moses with going to develop technology that will silence Egypt. All God needed to do was to cook Moses very well. The mountain belonged to Pharaoh. The mountain was Pharaoh's son. But when he got back there, they knew that the Moses that ran away is not the one that returned. Because for God to put that rod in Moses' hand, God had to introduce Moses to Moses. At the age of 80, Moses already felt he was a failure. A university graduate, eloquent in speech. But when life dealt with him, he became a stammerer. I say life has not dealt with him. I say when life dealt with him, when they ask you, how are you? I'm fine. When you have a sequence of bad memories, when things have happened to you that you don't bother sharing with people because you know that all they will tell you is it is well, you don't want to waste your time anymore. You are tired of telling people this story because you know they can't even handle it. God had to reveal the Moses of his presence to the Moses that was afraid, running away, hiding himself between sheep. I pray that God will introduce you to you. I pray for you that God will, the you that was on God's mind, God will introduce that person to you. You will now realize that you are limitless in potential. Your ability is actually the ability of God, depending on your alignment. That you are to spend from the pocket of Jehovah, that you are not stranded. That when God sent you to earth, you are the solution he had in mind. And there's nothing wrong with you. You are an arrow shot into the future. There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. Watch out for divisions, divisions, two visions. This is my personal project. This is the be careful. Some of those things are very good, but they will sap up your energy and make you useless for God. Be careful. So one thing is what? It's needful. One thing. And if perchance you already know that what that one thing is, embrace it now. Deal with it. That this is who you are. Move on. Stop hoping God will change his mind. Stop hoping maybe you can balance it up. There is nothing to balance. You are not sent here to balance account. There is nothing to balance. Once God has revealed to you that you are a man of God, deal with it. Look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself, I wear my calling as a badge. I accept my destiny with humility. I am who God says I am. I move on. Deal with it. Because recently I began to, I was talking to my wife, I said maybe I should go back to UNILAG and do another postgraduate, do a PhD, because I realized that we need to go and engage that education mountain. And you can't engage it as a pastor. I'm just thinking. When I go into those committee, I will go all those federal government panel or whatever, I will go and sit down there. You hear Dr. Gwinga, just sit. Because one day the sons of Pharaoh will sit on those panels and they will tell you cannot teach religion in school again. The sons of Satan, they will sit upon all those boards and tell you can't pray in your schools again. Even if it was a Christian school, you can't pray. And there's nothing you can do about it because you don't have anybody there. Paul said, pray for all that are in authority, that we may have what? Peace. But he didn't tell us the type of prayer to pray. So some prayers will enthrone some prayers will sack some. Oh, by chance that President Buhari is not around and dollar is now what? 40 something, as at 500. Your news is not. I heard 460, I had 420. I'm not saying the dollar rate is permanent. I'm just telling that could it be God is saying something? There's no coincidence in destiny. You are born for such a time as this. If you did not pass through all of the things you are passing through now, how can you receive mercy to give to others? If God packaged you the way you are and took you to your destiny, will you recognize yourself? It was God that gave all those things and he took it away. He can bring it back right now. But he wants you to meet you. Be careful of divisions. Two visions. Once you are able to identify your destiny, embrace it. Embrace it. And there was something God had on his mind when you were born. Please find it. Again, my friend here failed the test of reaching out to his brother who wasn't doing too well. Let us not assume that everybody is okay. Sometimes try to ask, are you okay? And you too, don't give a spiritual answer. Be honest. People like to give, it's not even spiritual answer, it's falsehood. You say all is well. But you know all is not well. Sometimes it is not. I was so sick. We had just finished a meeting in I think Bobby College, and I felt so sick. We had just ministered to people, and people were, you know, getting their miracles and being touched by the Holy Spirit, and I was sick. So after the meeting, I was with Pastor Paul. I said, you know what? Can you just pray with me? I'm not feeling too fine. Oh, he said, oh no, my God! After all this anointing, he just hugged me. He didn't pray; he just hugged me. By the time he left me, I couldn't feel the thing in my body. I'm sure he didn't even know that was a miracle. In fact, that miracle would have blown his ministry. That's as I hugged him. The power of God just. That was the first and only time I've ever been healed of malaria. Unfortunately, my friend is in Port Harcourt, so if you need another hug, you have to go all the way down. Amen. But he just hugged me. By the time he left me, I felt better. We need to check on ourselves. People are bottling serious hurts, offenses. Some people's perception of God is that if God really loved them, their father should not have died. And they held that thing. They are in choir, they are in prayer unit, but that perception is there somewhere in the soul. Anytime things are not going too well for them, that thing comes back and begins to speak. You know those conversations in your mind when you are about to sleep, or when you wake up in the night and you can't sleep, and you're having these conversations you can't control, floating in your head. And until you think the thoughts through, you cannot sleep. The thoughts will keep playing and playing and playing, and you're like a dummy listening to everything. You people don't know what I'm talking about. Me, I have them. I need to run. Let's look at the final guy. I'm interested in him because he was the only one who talked. Verse 20. And another came. You see that Jesus did not ask three people to come. Another came. But after the third guy, nobody wanted to show up again. There's nothing to report. After we saw what happened to the third guy, where are the rest? Say, they are not here, sir. See, another came. The second came. Another. Say, they went to wash plate. Who was there? I said, people should come. We are coming, sir. Say, Lord, see the effrontery. He was bold. The guy had thought it through. He knew that God was not fair. How can you give him a prophetic gift and give me a writing gift? And you expect me to make profit? Who is buying books in this country? Sir, hey, Quinada, you didn't share this thing well. You know, it's £1 could be pound sterling, or which other country is using pound? Zimbabwe, I don't know. Some African countries use pounds. You didn't give me pounds sterling. It's Zimbabwean dollar you gave me. Zimbabwean dollar, if I give you 2,000 naira, this whole house will be filled with money. I say you're a rich man. You'll be. Hey, glorious in holiness. You, if I give you 10,000 naira in Zimbabwean currency, by the time they change it, somebody will need to go to the market and buy gammas, go back like 100. You'll just be filling. Say, Olo, Ari, this is a rich man. That was following you. You are the rich man, no? 10,000 naira. Say, God, you didn't give me pound sterling. You didn't give me a prophetic gift. You didn't call me to pastor in Lekki. You didn't come to pastor in the US. You told me that I should go to Ekpe. And you are expecting results. How? That's what the guy was telling me. Say, how? This guy, his parents lived in VI. He just crossed over to Oniru. It's a residential area. The moment people heard praise the Lord, people came out for service. In Ekpe, an offering. At all, we are not smiling. At all, in a Lekki area, Amen. People are giving. Ekpe, the fishermen, before they break, they have gone. When you do follow up, they tell you, don't, Pastor, am I worried? We are coming. Eh? Our lorry on me, we are on the water, but we are coming. We will just come straight. It's 8 in the Abbey. 8 o'clock, service will start 8. Say, Pastor, we are coming. The fisherman is telling you, say, we are coming, we are on the water, but we are coming. Service, just continue, we are coming. So, Pastor with his wife, with his tambourine, we are here again. Even the keyboardist, because he didn't eat last night, he had to rush out to catch fish, because if not, after service, you are still on your own. It's in the night you can fish. So, this guy had some things on his mind.
Yes.
He said, Master, I didn't do anything with your gift, but this is it. Free me, I want to go. Say, I can't free you like that, not without cane. Do you know what it means to keep in a napkin? Takes that, wraps it. This thing was not lost. Anywhere I keep this thing now, go to his wardrobe. And then locks the wardrobe. This door remains permanently shut. The other one will be keeping closed here. Any day he comes. Master, wait. Take your thing. Now let's start talking. Before you talk, let me tell you my own. Next verse. See Yab 21. I'm afraid of you. I know you're a wicked. Honestly, I would have thrown this thing away. But I know you're a wicked person. You kill people. Now, I'm afraid of you because you're an austere man. You always look for things that are not your own. Those are the things you like taking. Me, I'm a man of integrity. I don't take what is not my own. I cannot be following you. Your hand is not clean. That's what I was telling God. Your hand is not clean. And you know. Then you also like to reap where you do not sow. May I believe in law of nature. You reap what you have sown. I'm sorry. This is your money. I don't want anybody's blood on my hands. Take your thing. What did Jesus tell him? Verse 22. Okay. Based on what you have said, that's where we'll place your marking scheme on. Out of what you have said, your mouth of your mouth you can be snared, and by the words of your mouth you can be what? You can be free. He said you're a wicked servant. This knowing that you had that I was a wicked man or austere man, you didn't know it today. You knew it from the day before I gave you that coin. Yet you accepted my offer. When I placed my hand upon you and called you, you could have looked at me and said, I can't do it. Find somebody else. You took my ability, my gift. You relished in it. You enjoyed the fact that among all the servants in this house, you are among those that were given something to occupy. But all you had was the fanfare and the ordination. When they said, arise, Reverend Benga Shafe, senior pastor, and then he stood up and people began to clap. That was the end of your ministry. Because after that day, you wrapped the coin, the gift and the calling, the writing, the drama ministry, the media gift, the fashion creativity anointing, the 100 books you were supposed to write, the application I should have designed, everything I should have used as a tool to reach the world, a software that can interpret languages, and I wanted you to join Bible Society of Nigeria to help in taking the Bibles to areas where they have not translated. But because of this, your mindset, we are where we are. So it's okay, no problem. Let me have my comeback. Okay, thank you. Verse 23. The least I would have expected. You know, I said to you, you cannot work with God if you are not a businessman. You must have an investment mindset. Everything God does is for a reason. The least you could have done, where you know you could not stand on the stage I had given you, was to make the stage comfortable. vacate it for somebody else to come and use it. You will not use the stage, yet you soil it so that nobody else can use it. Because of this, I am short of some cities. Because of your effort, because despite the fact that I shed my blood, because of your actions and inactions, you have cost me so number of souls. Because of your self-seeking glory, thinking that the only reason why I came to this world to die was because of your own pocket, because of your selfish intentions, I have lost cities. Are you dare to come back with me and say, here is your gift? Of what use it is? When I gave you the gift, was it not mine? While it was in your hand, was it not mine? How can you return to me what is always mine? If you had given the stage to somebody else, I would have had some profit, so that I would have been able to get go to verse 24. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that had 10. Why not 5? God is not a fear God. He's a just God. God is not a fear God. He's a just God. God will put his money where he will get profit. If God finds your life that place where he will find profit, he will put his money on you. If God finds his investment safe in your hands, he will put it on you. It doesn't matter if you can speak in tongues and shout hallelujah. If God sees that you are a security and a high risk, he will not invest in that spot. It will wait till somebody who carries the mindset of the kingdom, who has a pure understanding, somebody who can make 110, say, let's empower this one more. Why 10 and not 5? That God's perception of you in this matter is your attitude and not what he gave you. What he gave you is already what he gave you, but the way you carry it when he's rubbing people off their positions. Say, Gwenga, you know what? Sorry, I have to bug you. Can you go to Ghana? Lord, what's going on, guys? Say, we'll go and start affairs. Just say, eh? I know. He said, I know. That your friend, that idiot, I fired him. He's fired. He's in prison now. So take. I give you Ghana. What people don't know, they'll be seeing international. It's not international ministry. It's annexing of nations. How God it sees you and is willing to invest in you depends on how you have been able to master the little he has given you. He said, he that is faithful in little, reward. That's not what the scripture said. He said, he that is faithful in little is also. So the equation of the little is the same equation that balances the much. In other words, the result and the reward of the man who was giving little and was faithful with it is the same reward of the guy who was giving much and was faithful with it. God will not say, because he gave Pastor Adeboye an entire city, he will now rate him more than you. If God gave you just that, your writing gift, and you used it to contribute to the body of knowledge, information that can help nations come to the light, God will rate you and him equally. Just because you are not going to several nations, man of God, I say, sorry, I just landed. I'm in Dubai. We are preaching. And next time I come, man of God, you say, we are just, we are in London for 3 days meeting. We want a prophetic conference. And then say, man of God, you say, you won't believe it. I'm just getting to the airport now. We are in Afghanistan. There's a group of believers here. And every time they call him, he's in one country or the other. He has 336 sims for different countries, switching sims inside the airport. In the plane, because this is Afghanistan, this is their own SIM card. Brap, remove the other one, pocket it, changing SIM card. Ha, that man of God is great, oh. Can you believe in the last 1 week he has been in 5 countries? Sir, it's not like that. I said, he that is faithful in little, God raised him as faithful in what? In much. That thing that he put on your inside, and that is why you notice that those things you came from heaven with, you didn't learn it. You saw them on your inside. They were the configurations of heaven on your inside. You call them talent, God calls them his gifts. Somebody needs to look inside. Stop looking outside. What the greater man seeks is inside him. What the lesser man seeks is in others. Look talking words today. Because you are going to be taking mountains. And when you begin to engage the mountains, they will try to strip you of everything they gave to you to weaken you. But what you came with from the realms of heaven, the gift that God gave to you, no man can. He said, I have the power to lay my life down and to pick. There is nothing God gave to you that any man can take from me except you allow them. They can take their job, they can take their salary, they can take their promotion, they can try to frustrate you and try to gang up against you, but they cannot gang up against heaven's forces with you. Do not despise the gift that is on the inside of you. Paul was teaching. I was teaching his son. And he said, my son Timothy. He said what? He said what? Stir up. Because many times it seems like dust can cover the gift. And you have someone. He said, blow the thing. Put it under the fan. Clean it. Wash it. Stir it up. It's not a talent. It's God's gift to your world. Your ability to be very thorough, to see through errors and get this done in the spirit of excellence, it's not something we learn in business school. It started in heaven. But you know what the world did? They know that because we will spend our time praying, the more you pray, the less you think. So they organized all heaven's resources given to man, and they began to work on them. When you want to get the best business books to get today, they are written by unbelievers. Yeah, they got it from us. Are you listening to me? I want you to look inwards this morning. I want you to think deep. When Paul said, and I close with this. I've not even said so much. When Paul was talking, he said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is where. Get me that scripture, please, quickly. Stir up the what? Look at the words. The gift of God that is where? That is where? In thee. Are you there? I want us to look at that scripture. You are despising yourself, and every time you do, the devil enjoys it. Got one less problem. Very soon that coin, you will throw it away. I put you in remembrance because that's what I came to do this morning, to remind you that you didn't come in no place. You stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Where is it? In thee, in your spirit. By the what? Laying on of my hands. That means certain gifts can be transferred by impartation. Next verse. You see, the moment Paul spoke about the gift of God, he started addressing the issue of fear. This is the number one reason most people will never take a step. Now that you can afford to fail. Those who are ready to fail usually don't fail. They only learned another way not to do it. God spoke about the gift of God. Paul spoke about the gift of God. He spoke about the location of the gift. That suggests to me that everything God seeks to do in you is usually larger than what you can handle. So it can bring a level of fear. Can I do this? If God is sending you to minister to women, one of the things people that find it difficult to relate to themselves are women. God is sending a woman to a woman. Madam, I beg. We have other things. A lady would rather listen to a guy doing singles and relationship, like that pastor who fills stadium. You know, you would. Some women even prefer hostels, where private hostels on campus, where there are men and women both living in the same block. It's more matured. But for a woman to follow a woman. So God can give you a ministry that looks like something like that, and then your desire to take a step, and you look at the odds you are going to face, that you can come one day and just cry your hello. Do you know the pain when you are pastoring and your own brother leaving your own house is telling you that, sir, I will not be coming to your church, eating your food, Say, there's one other church there. Say, yeah. Say, that pastor is giving you house there, Abi. Say, no. He say, you just like their service. You like their service. Like. The people. I'm not. Me, I don't have younger brother. I'm the last brother. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. The people that you thought to say, hallelujah, oh, God has spoken, oh, let's do this, they'll tell you, we'll be praying for you. We believe in what God has said to you. It's not, it's you, God said it to you, not us. It's you. See, we'll try and come around. Try and come around. When is your anniversary? We'll come around. Is it possible that that guy who had just one talent or one gift was also battling with fear? He didn't know what to do. No training. No capacity development sessions. All the time he was with the master, all he was doing was how to do worker. God is not looking for workers. He's looking for leaders. Leaders are also workers, but they have a different mindset. They make things happen. So if God takes you now, Dubai, it may be for a business, you know, agenda or something, takes you to Dubai, and then he sees someone in that meeting where you are and say, that guy is my key man, go for him. What do you do? Do you know what to do? How do you connect with somebody you have never spoken to before and begin to share? You strike a chord, and then later you meet up and you share the gospel with him. Who teaches you that in church these days? But this is why companies, high level blue chip companies, will organize a seminar and take Muson Center, 4 Point, Orienta, to teach how to get the market. For us, the money is too much. Any amount spent on one soul is not a waste. 1 billion. Jesus said, what can you give in exchange for one soul? Jesus asked, what can you give in exchange for one soul? One soul, one soul. That the cost and the value of this earth is not up to the value of this man sitting here. And here you sit down, look down yourself as if God, and God is looking at you. I put you in the earth that if they cost you, if I cost all the body parts in you, it's more than the value of this earth. What is in the earth? Gold. What is in the earth? Oil. What is in the earth? Uranium. What is in the earth? All these things that make people stupidly rich, and they are not up to the value of you. And you say, I don't know, I feel rejected. I don't know, I feel broken. Hey! Stop that. The value of this man sitting, more than the whole earth, with all the resources, and you sit there and smite God, and you spite him with your rejection that he has forgot. That's what that guy was doing. He had points, but his points were not valid. Dealing with the spirit of fear. Say, before you, the devil talks to you about fear, let me tell you about the spirit of power. With that spirit, you can make everything happen. Say, as he was in this world, so are we. Everything you need to succeed is inside you. You have to open your eyes and see it. Everything. There is nothing you are looking for. Everything is on your inside. Everything is on your inside. Everything is on your inside. Everything. You are not begging a client. Everything is on your inside. Everything is on your inside. Your capacity for failure is zero. 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 And except you see the way God sees it, God can't help you. Even 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 God can't help you. What is the demand of the hour? Kenny, we have to train people to be leadership in their posture and their mindset. If you don't take a leadership posture, you cannot stand up at 12 and go and be asking people that are older than your father, what is the kingdom? Because when Joseph sees those Pharisees, you know what? He will kneel down. My father in the Lord. He will kneel down. Just got there and say, hey, can I ask you a quick question? Do you understand the posture? These are the people that Joseph worships. And the people just went and said, sorry, quick, can you do this quickly? What is this resurrection and life? I don't know. I know. It's obvious in your face that you don't know. Let me explain. and just begin to I don't know if somebody is going to be born again this morning, because this to be born again is to turn anew and begin to think in a new way. But God has a great plan for your life. God is proud of you. God is not mad at you. You need to deal with this thing once and for all. If God takes away something from you, he can give you something better. God will not take away anything without giving you something better. He's the faithful God. He's the one that is called faithful and true. He's not the one that he leaves you to rot. He said he will not leave my soul in hell. Neither shall he suffer his only one to see corruption. God will not allow you to pass through hell and leave you there. If he took his son there, he will bring him back. God has not forgotten you. Don't be like that third man who felt he had all the answers and yet couldn't make anything out of his life. You must begin to take up a leadership posture in your home, in your personal life, self-government. Begin to rule yourself. Tell yourself, this is where I want my house to be. Organize your life around effectiveness. Posture your life as someone who is on a mission. Live as one who is called. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Let's pray.
Just to see you.
We know you've been blessed with these words, so you can as well visit us, plot 223 beside Bode Emmanuel Center, Satellite Bus Stop, Ikodu Road, Ilukweju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website, www.theharvestword.org. Contact us for counseling, 080-83-178-191. God bless you.